Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Ben Vedemar.
Amen. It's great to be here in Scarborough. We had some awesome days in Fuing. Now I learned it. But it's good to be back in the big city, Scarborough. I love worshiping God with you guys because it feels like you are real. I like that. So, you know, whenever we worship, we worship Him from our hearts. Amen? And the real you and me is actually on the inside. So when we worship God from our hearts, we touch His heart. And when we do that, actually, everything is possible. Because God is very much alive today, isn't it?
Amen. Hallelujah.
And He's not bothered about snow and cold weather or whatever. He doesn't even drive car. Have you noticed? He's flying. So that's good. So I have a word for you. And I forgot my reading glasses. Because I'm that old now. I've been grandfather for a second time a couple of months ago. So I need reading glasses. But I forgot my reading glasses. So I thought, what should I do? So my wife told me, tell somebody else to read the Bible. So I've asked Brian to read the Bible for me. You know, I'm not that old, actually. But the letters are too small. So if you have the Bible with you, I want you to go to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 1 to 7. You know that by heart, you don't need to read it.
Exactly. No.
I know also, but I thought you better read it there.
Chapter 1?
No, 2.
Chapter 2.
1 to 7.
1 to 7. It's not in Sweden, huh?
It's Swedish.
Swedish, okay.
So you have to translate it. I'm testing your spiritual gifts here.
Praise God. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is a hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. So that's a good word, isn't it? So let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we can be here in Scarborough this morning. And I thank you for the promise that you have given to us, that whenever we come together like this to worship you from our hearts and exalt the name of Jesus, then you have promised to be here in the midst of us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are God. I thank you that you are the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. I thank you that you are the resurrection power. I thank you that you are the teacher, the guide that leads us into the whole truth, the truth about ourselves and the truth about you and your kingdom. And I ask you for the ability to be able to share your word in a way so that it will make a difference this morning, in a way so that Jesus Christ is being glorified, and in a way so that this church might be edified and strengthened. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I love Paul, whatever Paul is writing. I mean, I love every word of the Bible. We should do that. But it's something wonderful about Paul, because Paul was a very spiritual person. And he actually was involved changing this world. So whatever he was saying, he was doing. And Paul, at the same time, he was very down to earth. Because Paul, when he was called, he had already lived quite a long time in that world he was living in. And so he knew about the circumstances. He shared life with all the other people in the same situation as himself. So whenever Paul is talking about certain things, he is using pictures and parables that it's very easy to understand. And he's doing that in a way so at least I get very encouraged by it. And I think we learn a lot from the epistles of Paul. And in this epistle, those verses that we have been reading, the first thing that Paul is talking about, he says that we are strengthened by the grace of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a good word? I said, isn't that a good word? How many loves the grace of God? Now, all of you should have lifted your hand now. Because you really love the grace of God, don't you? And many times, I know, I just sit down, you know, whenever certain things have happened, good things, sometimes not always good things happen, but you just come to a point where you just say, God, I'm so happy for your grace. And it's actually your grace that we are still around here. It's your grace that we on a Sunday morning, whatever date it is, in Scarborough, and it's freezing cold outside, and maybe some of you had problem even getting the snow away from your car this morning, but now you're here, and it's by His grace. By His grace, you can smile, and you can be happy. Just like Kate. I like Kate because she's smiling all the time. And Paul also. He's also smiling. I like when people are happy. Isn't that good? By His grace. And Paul says you can be strengthened by His grace. So the grace is not just something that we kind of lean back to when we fall asleep. Now sometimes people are not here, but they're talking about grace as though it's an escape. Now, grace, of course, in one way can be an escape because we enter into the presence of God by the grace of God and by the mercy of God, and we are coming there like we have just done this morning. And when we are there, in one way, we escape this world for a time. And we receive strength and I don't know about you, but joy and
yes.
Grace and love and power. And some of you are looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. That's okay. But that's how it is.
Yeah.
You know, strength, grace, actually doesn't make you passive. Have you noticed? I met someone sometime and they said to me, not so long time ago, they said, by His grace now, I don't have to do anything. I can just enjoy whatever. And I looked at him and I thought to myself, actually I think I even said that to him. You know, by His grace, I can do everything in Christ that strengthens me. And by His grace, there is no end. I said, there is no end on what God can do through your and my life. There is no end how much God can use you. 2010... in Scarborough, Yorkshire, wherever you are, to change this world.
Amen.
By His grace, because His grace is a force. Isn't that wonderful? His grace is a strength, it's power released in your and my life. That's why Brian, for example, last night was walking out, whatever you call that, you do, the street angel. I mean, I admire walking out. It's like freezing cold. And by free will, nobody had to, I don't think so, kick you out and say, if you don't go out, you have a problem with God. Nobody did that. Not even God. But you see, there's something that is working inside of us that causes us to do those unbelievable things. Have you noticed? It causes us to do some extraordinary things today, and people wonder, how on earth can they do like that? They are not even Jehovah's Witness or any other sect that is forcing you to do certain things to be able to be accepted by their gods. You know, we are not forced by God to do anything to be accepted by Him. We are accepted by Him, by His grace and mercy. But that grace didn't stop there. Isn't that good? No, I think it's good anyway. It didn't stop here because the grace is so great so that it creates things in our lives. And Paul said to Timothy, I want you to multiply what you are. I want you to find some trustable guys. And I want you to give over what has been given to you. Now, I don't know, but I'm excited about that this morning. Because it means that actually what is given to you, your life in God, your life in the grace of God, the faith of God, is so powerful, it's actually so overflowing, so that it will influence others. You know, sometimes I listen to different strategies. I like strategies. I'm not against that. I think we need a lot of strategy, how to change this world, how to win the billions for Christ. But sometimes when I listen to some strategies, how can we get our church growing? Let's make a system, a multiply system, MLM, a Christian MLM system. This person have to do this and this and this, and then that will grow this and this and this, and then it do. And sometimes it works, but sometimes it's like when you come into places where they have that hardcore system, you look at the people and they're like, we've been in this system, we are working hard, but it's tiring. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you know what? I think you missed something. I think you missed that actually, for a Christian, a born-again believer, like you and me, spirit-filled, full of His grace, strengthened by His grace, it's actually normal. It's a normal behavior. It's not something abnormal. It's a normal behavior that actually you and I, in our lives, we are affecting people. We are imparting. We are influencing people in our lives, and sometimes the only thing we need to say is to say that by His grace you can do it. Because you are created that way. When God created Adam and Eve, and remember, He didn't create Adam and Steve, that's a very important message. Adam and Eve. When God created Adam and Eve, He said to them, multiply yourself. That was the first command He gave to them. Multiply yourself. When He gave you a new birth, when you become a child of God, you know what God said to you? Multiply yourself. Amen. It's in your DNA. Mm-hmm. I said it's in your DNA.
Yes.
As sometimes it's amazing, you know, because sometimes people, they think it, not you, but I bet people who think the wrong way. They think it, oh, I can never have any influence because I'm not good enough. Blah, 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 blah. And we dealt with that now in Fwing this weekend, I guess. But you know, it is possible to kind of be a little bit relaxed at the same time be in full gear. Ever try that? It's possible to be relaxed on the inside because you know that what I do, it will have an influence. I'm giving over something that actually I didn't deserve anyway, because it's the grace of God, but it's there and it's the life of God. And because I have His driving force on the inside, you know, when I give it over to you, I know that something is happening. I know. I said I know. Yes. Oh, because you're a preacher. No, it has nothing to do with me being a preacher. It has to do with me being a Christian person, spirit-filled, a believer. Not a particularly good person. You are probably much better than me. But I have learned this, that in my life, in my footsteps, people's lives are being influenced. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, la, la. And I'm not talking about bad influence. Because your flesh will not have influence. It will just, you know, people... That has not a strength in other people's life. That is what you have from God. And if you start to talk to that creature, and the Bible is even, the Bible is, he's saying, you are a sheep. When he's trying to explain who you are, he compare you with a sheep. I still haven't done deep studies about that. I probably will not do it because I think still, I don't think it's my calling. Somebody from Britain can do that because I know there are big sheep, small sheep, all different kinds of sheep, black sheep, white sheep. And I know but people can look sheepish. I know that sheep doesn't have that big brain. They can't have because that looks pretty stupid. You know, it's like... But they taste good. Okay. But I'm not going to talk about the sheep because I haven't studied that. But the Bible's comparing you with some other guys here. Yeah. And here it says, Paul is comparing you with a soldier. Isn't that good? Why is he saying that? Well, he's describing something for you. He's describing what the grace of God is enabling you to become. Or to be. And one thing that the grace of God is enabling you to be is a good soldier. I don't know if you've ever been in the army. I haven't. But I like soldiers. You have been in the army, haven't you? Yeah. A soldier, a good soldier, is somebody who is willing to lay down his life for somebody else. Isn't it? That's a good soldier. So what does it mean when Paul is saying this to Timothy? He says, you know, be a good soldier. In other words, everybody at that time understood what that was. Everyone in UK today understands what that is. What is a good soldier? A good soldier is some of those people you see in some TV shows. I don't remember the name of that TV show. You know, I'm not watching TV so much, but I saw last year one TV show. It was not a soap opera. It was a TV show. I don't remember the name of it. It was something about Hero of Britain. What is that? The Heroes of England. ITV.
Pride of Britain.
Pride of Britain. And I was watching that. I didn't know what it was, but And then I saw that they were celebrating people had done extraordinary heroic things. And when I saw one of those soldiers been in Iraq, and he told a story. I was weeping. I'm not weeping that often, but I was weeping when I watched that. The guy, you know what the guy done? He was standing, he was a commander of his group of soldiers. And he was standing in the middle, and he had like 12 soldiers around him. And suddenly, a small bomb was thrown in the midst of those people. And it was just about to explode. And the first thing the commander, this soldier, does, he throw himself, I mean, I never heard anything like it. He throw himself on that bomb. And the bomb explodes on him. And all of those 12 soldiers' lives are saved. And miraculously, the life of that soldier is saved because he has a rucksack or something like that, you know. And he throw himself so that the effect of the explosion hits him here and all the ribs on this side and probably some more injuries. He receives some more injuries. And this guy, then, he didn't know that he was supposed to come to this show. He's just a quite shy guy. So they more or less kidnapped him and took him to that show. And he was standing there in front of the whole United Kingdom because it was a TV show, a live show. And this leader of that program asked him, "Why did you do this? How could you do that? Didn't you understand that you were risking your life?" And he didn't even look straight like I am. He just looked down a little bit and he said, "Well, that was the first thing that came to my mind when I saw that happen. I understood if I'm not throwing myself on that bomb, all the others will die." And then the 12 other soldiers came up and they were like, you know, tears in their eyes, and they gave him high five and they said, "We'll never forget what you've done because you saved our lives." I like that story. That is a good soldier. A good soldier gives his life for somebody else. And by his grace, by the grace in Jesus Christ, you and I, we have been enabled. I'm not talking negative now. I'm not saying we will go out and die now. No, no, no. This guy didn't even die. He rescued. He saved the life of 12 people. And he was very happy. The grace of God enables you and me to be life savers in this world. Isn't that wonderful? I said, isn't that wonderful? You are free to be like that. And when you do it, you're not alone because the power and the spirit of grace is working through you. Yes. The second thing that, the second picture Paul is using, saying you're an athlete. That's a good picture, isn't it? What is typical about an athlete? An athlete is discipline. How many love discipline? One. I reckon you love discipline because you are a very disciplined person. We live in your house now. You take care of us. And I like you. Good man. You know, whenever somebody says, discipline, by the grace of God, we don't have to be disciplined. What is discipline? It's that you are focused. You know, sometimes people accuse me, actually. And they say, I have people in... They say, you are too focused on doing things, they say. So somebody in England said that to me. And I was thinking, okay. So what are you focused on then? You know, you are focused on, too focused on being a doer. You need to learn to not do anything. And I know how it is not to do anything. It's so boring. I never understood people that went into monastery and hide away for the rest of their life. Just, you know, that's not my cup of tea. You know, I really believe that, you know, the grace that is working in us is a power. It's not a human power. It's a supernatural power by God. And that power helps you to be disciplined and to be focused. Now, I wish I was more disciplined in all areas of my life. And the Holy Spirit is doing that work in us. But you know, it's nothing negative. Because sometimes when people talk, I want to give you 5 steps to be disciplined. And people fall asleep before you come to the second step. Because they think it's something you put on them from the outside. Do like this. Oh, I already have so much problem. Don't give me more. But this is not what the Bible is talking about. It's talking about the grace that is working things in your life. And you know what? Another thing that the athlete needs to be aware of. He needs to be aware of timing. He needs to be aware of to be at the right place, the right time, and to start when it's time to start and to finish when it's time to finish. And just like that, I had an interesting experience. This is a long, long time ago. I always liked to run. And many years ago, when me and my wife was living in Vienna, we were missionaries down there. There came some American missionaries and they challenged me and they said, you want to run the Vienna Marathon? I said, sure. And I thought it's good to pick a fight with the Americans, so I said, I'm going to run the Vienna Marathon. And I'm a good runner, so it's not a big deal. But you know, when you're going to prepare for a marathon, and especially if you're going to compete with some American missionaries, then you want to be fit. And you want to follow the right program. So I remember I was quite focused and I tried to do the best of it. And I ate the right food before and this was in the spring. And I remember in the morning when I woke up and Vivian should take me downtown to Vienna Center because that's where the start was. And I came there. I came 10 minutes before and nobody was there. And I went to the person who was standing, one of the organizers, and I said, where is the runners? He said, the runners? The race started 10 o'clock. It's 11 now. No, it's 10. And I said, no, don't you know? It's summertime today. So I was standing there with my kit, I'd done all the right moves, I prepared, but I missed the time. That was a shame. What did I learn from that? Know the time when you are living in. You see, an athlete, he needs to be focused. He needs to be disciplined. It's not necessary that you are competing with others. I don't think you should. Because that can give a very bad atmosphere, especially in the church. We are competing with each other. That is not what the Bible is talking about. The third thing that Paul is using as an example, he says, talking about a farmer, a hard working farmer. Now, why is he saying that? Do we have any farmers here? I like farmers. He's a happy man. Good to meet you, man. You know, I have never been a farmer. No. My grandfather was a farmer. But my father didn't like farming, so they never taught me farming. But when I was a kid, sometimes they took me to a farm. And they tried to teach me how to take care of cows, how to milk the cows and all that stuff. But I would never been a farmer, but there's something special with farmer that I always liked. When there are good farmers like this man, there's a peace around them. Have you noticed? Yeah. It's not like a farmer is not like a car salesman. I'm sorry if you're a car salesman here, but there's a big difference between a car salesman and a farmer. A car salesman is like nervous, selling cars now, buy this car, it's a good car. I mean, he could sell your mother-in-law if it was necessary. That's a good idea, wasn't it? No, that's a car salesman, you know, he's always like, and it's full of, many of them are full of fear, they are lying all the time, the nose is growing when they talk, you know, and they could sell, you know, even some, I met Christian cars, man, some of them are the same. And you put a car salesman beside a farmer. That's such a big difference. The farmer is just... and he's just at peace. When a farmer is standing looking out on the fields and you don't see anything, you only see soil, and he still can stand there with a straw in his mouth. And his blue clothes, you know, and having his hand in his pocket. Because he knows. He knows. Next season, harvest is coming. And the car salesman is like, if I don't sell one more car, how will I survive? Sorry if you're a car salesman, man, but I'm sure you're a good one. Maybe there is someone here. Who is? Oh, sorry. You're going to kill me after this. What is typical about a farmer? So he has faith. Faith gives you peace. But you see, before he was standing there, looking at his field, looking content, he'd been working hard, early morning, late at night, working. But then, when they're working, I noticed, they don't complain. Not the one I know. They don't walk around, oh, I'm so stressed. It's been so hard. They just work. You know that it's possible to work by faith. You know what I learned? I learned that a Christian, like you and me, God enables us to be good workers. Sometimes I agree with the communists. And they say, the labor movement, you know, those slogans they had in the communistic countries. And they celebrated the worker, but they did it in the wrong way. But sometimes I think it's necessary. I was talking with a friend about this. very disciplined. Sometimes it's important to start up a new labor movement, I think. Could be a good Christian labor movement, where actually we encourage Christian people, especially the young generation, to become good workers. Because there is no reason. I said there is no reason whatsoever. If you are working at a place, why? You shouldn't be the best worker. Is that a statement of unrealistic statement of faith? No. Now how can you be the best worker? Because you are living in a different way. Because you have a force on the inside. You have a force that is bringing creativity. And you have energy. You have joy in what you are doing. You don't know my job. Well, it doesn't matter what job you have. I said, it doesn't matter what job you have. You know what I believe? Not to, you know, to put you down or anything like this. But I really believe that the place you are right now, I believe God has placed you there. I'm tired of people coming and asking, what is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God for my life? And they always think they are in the wrong place. And then they stay in that place for many years, and they are constantly asking questions, and the only thing they are focusing on is what is the next step. But the next step never comes, because they never understand that God has placed you in that place you are right now, and you are blessed. You are blessed, and you can be a blessing. You are called there to be a blessing. You are to be like a farmer, a hard-working man that is working by faith.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I encourage people, my own children. I encourage my friends, the younger generation especially, because sometimes there is a tendency among young people. They can be a little bit spoiled. They get everything they need. Without working. Not here, but some other place. And I'm encouraging him. I said, you know what? There's a joy.
Hallelujah.
It's a joy to do hard day's work. It's not unbiblical. And you know what? You can even set up goals for your work. When you come to that job, Monday morning, after being in church, praising the Lord, talking about changing the world, and you don't say like this Monday morning when the alarm clock is ringing, oh, it's time to go to that work again. If I could only be free from that. No, that's a wrong attitude. You know that by His grace, it is possible to wake up that morning and say, praise God, today I'm going to be a blessing to my working place. I'm going to be the best car salesman of the week by faith. Is that Christianity? Yeah. You know what happens when you do that? People will ask questions. Why? What makes you being such a good worker? What is it? You're always in time. You do the best work. You're a blessing to the company. What is it? I remember when I worked in a Norman job many years ago, and I will not tell the whole story, but one day the boss called me into his office. I'm not a very good man. I'm like you. You're probably better, but I made a decision when I started there. I'm going to be a blessing to this company. And after a year, one day, the boss called me in, And he said, there's something special. You are breaking all the records here. What is it? And he knew I was out preaching in the weekends. He said, you know, you are blessing me. I want to bless you. And then he started to blessing me. This is many years ago, and still, if I come close to that place, and he knows it, he will try to find a way to continue to bless me. Why? Because he knows. I gave by faith. I invested my life into that company. You know, I think it's time. And I know you think like this, but I'm just encouraging you. It is really time to understand that church is not here. I'll say that again. Church is not here only. You will have a building in the name of Jesus, and you're going to have a wonderful building, and it will not take long time before it's full. You're going to have to expand it after a while. I have faith for that. I pray this weekend. I believe something is about to happen there. Yes. But that is not the church. The church is out there. The church is where you are. And where you are having influence. You are a blessing. I said you are a blessing. You're the best nurse in the hospital. Now, is that not fantasy? No, it's not fantasy. When Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, I want you to think like a soldier. I want you to think like an athlete. I want you to think like a farmer. And remember, because of the grace that God has imparted in your life, it is possible for you to be like that.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God that God's grace is not like taking anesthetic. I've done that once. It's terrible. Been put to sleep. And then you wake up. That time I woke up and I start speaking English. The nurse wondered, where do you come from? Because it was in Sweden. But praise God that the grace praise God for His grace. We want to change this world, don't we?
Amen.
I said we want to change this world. You know, some of the greatest inventions are made by Christians.
That's right.
Have you ever been playing with Lego? Mm-hmm. How many like Lego? Oh. You know, the one who invented Lego, a Danish fellow, when he was young, he said to God, God, I want to have an idea. How I can make children happy and I can make heck of a lot of money so that I can be a blessing in this world. And God gave this man an idea. And he invented Lego. And what not many people know is that that man, now he's in heaven, but that man, during his lifetime, he invested fortunes, loads of money into mission. He gave and gave and gave. He had a very low profile about it, but he gave a lot for for the salvation of his world. And at the same time, you cannot deny that he has made a lot of children happy. Even our grandchildren, you know, you can buy small Legos when they're small, and they are so happy about this. What a great idea. I like that. By his grace, you and I, we can change this world. That was what I wanted to say. Please close your eyes. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that your grace is teaching us to deny things of this world, as it says in the Epistle of Titus. I thank you that your grace enables us to do mighty things in this world. And Father, I thank you for the spirit of grace, the power of grace in our lives, in this church. And I thank you, Father, for a release in people's life right now, where you take them from a point where they feel this pressure to produce a lot of things, to be able to be accepted, and instead come into the rest of faith, where we don't have to produce anything to be accepted, but we are enabled to produce things because we are accepted and because we have learned to know to flow together with you and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I just pray for every young person here, every student, every teenager. I just pray, Father, that right now you will stir up, you stir up right now a desire, a strong desire to accomplish things in this world. Already now, not wait until 5 years, not wait until tomorrow, but already now. That you will stir up that desire. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you come upon them, anoint them, spirit of faith. Anoint them right now. Because you have called them. You have a destiny for their lives. To change this world. To change this nation. To change this region. I thank you for that grace and that power. And that faith. I pray, Lord, that the workers represented here this morning, that you will give them favor in the companies, that because of their zeal and attitude, you will exalt them. And you will increase their influence. Not just to make them wealthy and rich, but that will come as a result. But so that your kingdom will increase. And so that it will be known about this body of people, that this body of people, they carry something extraordinary. They are the light of this world. They are the city on the mountain. I just pray for that, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you're here, while you close your eyes, keep your eyes closed. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you never received Him in your heart. He loves you. He died for you, gave His life for you. He rose from the dead, paid a price for your sins. If you are in that situation and you say, yes, I want to receive Jesus, I need forgiveness for my sins. If you want that, just lift your hand, please, so I can see it. If you are in that situation, just lift your hand. Maybe you say, but there's only Christians here. I don't know, so I always ask this question. Is there anyone? Just lift your hand so I can see. Second question. If you are here and you are unemployed, you are looking for a job, lift your hand up. If you are in that situation, you're looking for a job, lift your hand up. Can I ask you to come here? Just come here, both of you. Is that okay? Just come. I want to pray for you. How many can agree with me that those two wonderful guys will have a job? A good job. A good job. What job are you looking for?
Engineer.
Engineering job. And you?
Have a good look around, see if I'm good at.
Yeah, but you want a good job.
I want a good job, yeah.
So let's just reach out our hands to those. You see? God is a miracle-working God. Believe that? He's a miracle-working God. And God's will is for those two brothers to have a good job. Is that okay? Can we agree about that? Isn't that? That's very practical, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite obvious. Now we don't have job, and then God will give him job, and all of us will celebrate.
Yeah.
Isn't that good? I mean, sometimes, you know, when you pray for some, yeah, maybe that some God did something, but this will be very obvious.
Yeah.
That within 2 months, those guys will have job, isn't it? They start year 2011 with good jobs.
Yeah.
Isn't that good? That will be very obvious, and that will be a testimony. So let's even stand up now. Let's get some grace power activated here, okay? So let's pray for them. Father, I thank you. Pastor Paul, come, we pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I thank you. We release in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we release an engineering job for this brother. A good job. A better job than he had before. With higher salary. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We release that. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. 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 Father, we release a good job for this brother. We release a good job in the name of Jesus. Time of unemployment is over in the name of Jesus. A good job with good salary in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lift your hand. Father, I thank you for your blessings. I bless this church with abundance, increase, and I claim the blood protection over every family. No more accidents, no more sickness, no more attacks against what God is doing here. I ask Father to place angels around this place. And I claim the blood protection. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.